from Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. So let's just touch on a few of those that kind of had captured my eye this week, captured my attention. The first one is in verse 6. I'm not going to, as I say, just going to touch on a few of them, so not all of them. First one that I was pondering probably most on this week is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And it was probably a few days where I just, that was kind of the one verse I was reading, and I was thinking about just some specific areas in my life where I decided to see change. And so I think of where he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. When we think about righteousness, I was just pondering on that now. What does that mean? In my heart, I think it is, there's two, and I've said this before, I see two sort of aspects to righteousness. There's the righteousness which we receive on the basis of faith, the same example that we see from Abraham. And we see Paul speak of that in Philippians 3. He says that he would count all things lost to know him and to have a righteousness not based on the works of the law, but a righteousness which comes by faith. And I think even there, I don't know that Paul's necessarily saying that it's only a positional thing, a righteousness, which because I believe therefore I'm righteous. I think in my heart, Paul is also saying that when we believe and have confidence and faith in God, that there is a confidence that he can bring a change in our life and bring about a sanctification in our life. And that's the other side that I see to this in my simple kind of view of it, is there is a righteousness that we receive by faith. But when we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, which was in my mind and heart this week, it's a simple thing of longing to and hungering for him to continue to change us. And it's interesting that he says hunger and thirst. To me, I think of those, and I was thinking, I've talked about this before. I remember talking about this, it must have been more than a year ago because we were still meeting in person, about hungering and thirsting and how Jesus uses that, because it's so easy for us to think about that. And I was thinking, what is it? If I'm hungry or I'm thirsty, where am I kind of at? And my wife would say, well, I'm probably getting tired. When I'm hungry, I don't function well. I find it hard to do much if I'm really hungry or really thirsty. Like you become pretty focused on, I need to satisfy this hunger I have, or this, I'm incredibly thirsty. And you become pretty fixated on, I want to deal with this issue. But it's a good picture for us in the sense of, does the desire to be changed and to see God working in our life consume us, get us in the same way that just the simple desire to have a drink or to find a meal when we are famished? And so I just think it's a good picture of that. And it's not different. You know, it says the promise there is that we will be satisfied. And this is no different than when Jesus says in John 6, I'm the bread of life, and he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. There is that satisfaction. Coming to Jesus, the part then, if we put these two together, we cannot come to Jesus without there also being this desire, this hunger, and this thirst for righteousness. They go hand in hand. Coming to Jesus and hungering for him is, in my mind, the same thing as hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Because coming to Jesus in truth is coming to him and saying, I want, like Paul says, I would count all things lost for the sake of knowing him and being found in him and having this righteousness and attaining to the resurrection from the dead, all of those things. This is what it means to come to Jesus. And the question that we then have to ask ourselves is, are we hungering and thirsting for righteousness? And I can say, honestly, I've experienced both this week, where I was really gripped by this verse for a few days and just saw some areas, just desired, Lord, I desire change in those areas. And then all of a sudden, something kind of got my attention and kind of distracted me, and you begin to get focused on some natural thing, and all of a sudden that same hunger and thirst isn't there. And so I just, for me, it's a challenge to say, I want to stay in that place and be honest with myself. If I'm not in that place where I can say, do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do you hunger and thirst for Jesus? If the answer, when we're honest, is to say no, then it really is a simple thing of coming back to Jesus and saying, Lord, show me why. There's obviously things we are hungry, and I've said this before, if we're not hungering and thirsting for Jesus, it's because we're seeking to find that satisfaction somewhere else. So that's a simple thought, some simple thoughts for you. Let's be a body. Let's be believers that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Just crying out that God would continue to work in us, because it's in that place, it says, that we'll be satisfied. And so that is what we desire as a body. And if we say, you know what, I don't sense that, then let's be those that would come to Jesus and humble ourselves and acknowledge that, not be like Nebuchadnezzar that we heard about this morning for the kids who is proud, or even just is unconcerned. Even if we would say we're in a place that says, I'm not hungering and thirsting and I'm not really bothered by it, well, then again, it's just an indication that we need to go to Jesus and ask him to bring that change. Lord, I want to have that hunger and thirst. Show me why I don't. So that was the first one. I'm just going to touch on these quickly, just a few thoughts for you. I wanted to do three. So the next one is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. This one, through a conversation this week, really kind of just was fresh for me again. And I think many of us, I know that I can, and so I'll focus on myself, but when I came to the Lord, I probably shared this. You have this experience which ties so closely with Matthew chapter 18, that you come to experience the forgiveness of God, and you see him forgive this debt that we could never pay, and we're just filled with joy. But then all of a sudden, somebody has a debt against us in some way, whatever the case may be, and we lose sight of the fact of what God has done, that it was by his mercy. And you know what it is, I believe, in a lot of cases, it's pride begins to creep in, and we somehow think that it was by our own righteousness or by our own efforts or something that this salvation that we've experienced is because we've done something. And we lose sight of the fact that it was only by his mercy and his kindness that he showed to us. And so all of a sudden we find ourselves looking down on other people and judging others. And it's amazing when you look at that passage in Matthew 18, it was just so real to me this week. And it was when I think about it in my own life and what I personally experienced. And I would say, I know a few other brothers that could testify to have experiencing similar things, when all of a sudden we begin to look down on others and judge others. And then all of a sudden, what it says here at the end of this passage, it says where the king or the lord of that slave, when he found out, he said, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his lord was moved with anger and handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. And it says here that our Heavenly Father will do the same to us if we don't forgive our brother from our heart. I'm making that personal as opposed to the you. But I can say that it's real, and I've seen it in my own life, where all of a sudden when we're judging others and we're not extending mercy. So I would say, if you come back to this, right? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We know that the other side of it is true, that if we don't extend mercy, then we will not receive mercy. And in fact, it says that we will be handed over to the torturers, or I would use another word, the tormentors, because I've literally had someone describe it to me as that. It's like torment. And the Lord isn't doing it. The Lord does it to just open our eyes. And I remember distinctly coming to that place in my life of just crying out to the Lord, where I'd come into a place of just torment because I was proud. I thought somehow this salvation was something that I had accomplished. I was judging others, and it was torment. I could hardly function. In fact, I'd go to the point of saying I couldn't really function, even just the simple things of work and that. Just crying out, Lord, save me, help me. And in his mercy, again, he did. The same way we cry out at the start to say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I am a wretched man, a sinful man. Forgive me and change me and cleanse me. Come back to that place. And it's interesting. We have both sides. You know, there's others. James 2, it says, for judgment will be merciless to the one who shows no mercy, but mercy triumphs over judgment. And so just a promise, and again in Matthew 7 he talks about it. I don't need to read all these, but there's so many testimonies where God will measure to us the way we measure to others. And that's why we have this promise, blessed are the merciful. If we show mercy, we don't lose sight of the mercy that we've received, but we, as it says, love believes all things, it hopes all things. I think that's tied hand in hand with mercy. As we are reminded of that mercy, and we extend that then, and we extend that same mercy to others, we will continue to receive mercy. And so it's just a wonderful reminder for us. We need to stay in that place where we are showing that mercy to others. We are reminded again and again of the mercy that we've received, and showing that to other people. And sometimes I think that it becomes easier as time goes on and we see the areas in our life where we're falling short. I don't know, as I get older and as I raise my children and that, I think there are measures where it becomes easier because we just see more and more. It's like Paul, where he seemed to have this progression in his life where he saw himself more and more as until ultimately the chief of sinners. But I think that God can help us all with this, where we can be a merciful body. We can be a merciful people. Brothers and sisters that extend mercy to others, whether it's another believer outside our body who maybe sees things differently than us, it's a non-believer, whatever the case may be, let us seek to be those that extend mercy. And if we all of a sudden find ourselves where it feels like there's a measure of this torment coming on us, then just the Lord allows that in his love. Let's just repent. And just even like this story we heard this morning of just the pride that can creep in when God allows that. God allows that in his mercy, actually, for us, and just to humble ourselves and ask him to just continue to change us. Again, it comes back to this hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Part of that is, remember what Jesus said to the, I think it was the Pharisees. He says, you guys tithe and mint and come, and you dot every I and cross every T, and yet you've missed it. I desire mercy. I desire compassion. This is the person that I'm longing to make you. And yet you're missing it. And you think it, you're trying to establish your own righteousness. This is the person that God is desiring to make each one of us, is somebody that's merciful and compassionate towards others. So then the last one, which again, they're all so similar, but tied together. And this one grabbed me this week just because of the promise that comes with it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Man, Lord, I long to see you. And I think for me, I think about that in different ways. One, I long to stand before him when my life comes to an end, or when Jesus comes and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and to see him. But even now, Lord, I long to see more of you working in my life. Perhaps I could say I long to see more of you even working in the lives of other people around me, whether it's a brother or sister or someone that doesn't know the Lord, and to see them come to the Lord. But this promise of they shall see God is for those that are pure in heart. And so again, I just encourage us and challenge us this morning. Let's be those that are longing for a pure heart. It says, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? This is from Psalm 24. It's fun. It's amazing. It's the same then as it is now, in David's time to when Jesus walked the earth to today. It all is the same. If we want to ascend to the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place, to stand in his presence, whether that is as a body, we're just spending time together, whether that's just spending time with the Lord, and we just know that we're in his presence. It says that it's the one that can stand in that holy place is he who has clean hand and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And so I just think of this. And again, I see this very close to hungering and thirsting for righteousness, because our heart is deceitful and wicked beyond all cure on its own. But we have a promise that when we come to Jesus Christ and we lay our life before him, it says that he'll give us a new heart, a new mind, and put his spirit within us. And this is that pure heart that we long for. And that's where it's just a crying out again, saying, Lord, I long, I hunger, and I thirst to be for righteousness. Lord, I long to be merciful to others, that I could continue to receive mercy, because, man, do we need it. And then to be able to say, Lord, I long to be pure in heart. Let us be those that just continue to hunger and thirst for a purity in our heart, a purity in our mind, in terms of just having pure thoughts, in our eyes, in all these ways. These are the ones who can ascend to the hill of the Lord. These are the ones who will see God. These are just, praise God, we don't have to make these things complicated. But it's great to remind ourselves of these simple promises that Jesus Christ gave us when he spoke to his disciples. So I can say he still speaks to us today through these verses. So let's just remind ourselves of these simple things this morning, or I desire to remind us of these simple things this morning, and to know that man, what promises, that we can be satisfied as we hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we can continue to receive mercy, and that we can see God as we cry out to him and say, Lord, I need that purity of heart. I need you to continue to change me in that way. Okay. Let's close in, or let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you for the chance to just get into your word and spend some time together, even over a video call. Lord, we're just grateful that you are so good and you give wonderful promises, wonderful warnings, reminders in your word. As we heard about pride and the danger of pride, as we hear about how, Lord, you care so much for us no matter the circumstance we're going through, whatever it might be, Lord, that we would continue to lean on you, and that as a body, as individuals, we would continue to hunger and thirst for righteousness, hunger and thirst for more of you, not get caught up, not get deceived into thinking somehow we can be satisfied with other things, but to know that you alone and your righteousness alone working in our life is what can satisfy, and you would be a merciful and a compassionate people, and just continue to cry out for purity of heart. Lord, thank you for your goodness and for your word, your precious promises, your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.